IU President Randy Dunn in the studio. First off, it's good to see you again.
Good morning.
Glad to be here. Big weekend last weekend.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was neat. Because
actually, I've had a couple of weekends, commencements at both campuses over the past couple of weekends, medical school coming up in Springfield Saturday, so it is the time of year.
You know, it's interesting because I got an opportunity to interview the head of the Automotive Technologies Department, Mr. Bourbon.
Yes.
And he was talking about how his students, he says, you know, 90% of them have already accepted jobs. The other 10%, they can't decide which job to take.
That's a nice problem to have, particularly in that program. There are others like that. Aviation, of course, is another one where they've got a pick of the litter for whatever they want to do.
Right.
Great to see.
And it's the untold stories.
Absolutely.
I mean, when it gets a relationship to what you're talking about at SIU, and there's so much now in the air and so many target-rich environment,
yes.
We'll call it for News Talk anyway. I don't know if it's always a pleasant subject, but still, I mean, I feel it's detrimental to not at least understand that there are areas of success and not all is doom and gloom and the sky's falling.
No, in fact, you know, you see the stories that come out usually on commencement weekends, each of the papers run them, about all of these life stories where people are going to take a degree from SIU, go out and do great things, makes them productive citizens, going to contribute to the economy, do all of this type of stuff that you want a good university education to do.
And some staying here and doing entrepreneurial work too.
Absolutely.
And you've got that as well. You know, with this, you've got Jerry Kill, you got a new soccer coach coming in.
Right.
First ever.
Things move forward.
Right. Matter of fact, I saw an opinion piece I published. It was talking about, I think Les wrote that at the Southern about his plate is full.
Yes.
I'm talking about Jerry Kill.
Yes.
But I'll be honest with you, this morning, what's burning up my phone lines and my messaging this morning is an opinion piece that was published in the Southern Illinois by Kathleen Shawalis.
Yes.
And I know she had stepped down, I think.
I figured you may want to talk about this, given we were scheduled to talk.
Yeah. Well, and it came out today.
Yeah.
And one of the terms here is blindsided last month by a $5 million reallocation threat to campus and the associated $39 million to the region, talking about a multiplier.
Well, that is an opinion piece. Let's remember that.
Unless it is an opinion piece. And that, you know, that there's actually a subheading here that Dunn's Good Friday budget ambush, saying that you ambushed, in no uncertain terms, Randy, that you ambushed Carlo Montemagno and he was not informed about the proposed $5 million shift to SIUE.
Bogus. So, again, we've had this conversation at the board table. During the April board meeting where this reallocation question was put in front of our board of trustees, appropriately so. And as you know, it was voted down. It did not pass on a 4-3, which is fine. That's what boards are there to do, to make those kinds of judgments, render those decisions on what's appropriate. But in terms of the campus not having background on that, that's not the case at all. In fact, it was the situation that a week prior, we have what's called a sign-off meeting. For any board agenda item that's going to be moving forward. And now that initial sign-off meeting, the chancellor was not able to be there, but had representatives from the campus and alerted them to the fact that we'd be looking at something like this in that dollar range, that potential reallocation of some funds. But at that point, the item of all of these matters that go before the board, of course, have a recommendation paper. They're part of materials that we supply to board members prior to the meetings. So at any rate, in this big roundup meeting where we decide what's going to be on a board agenda and the matters to go forward, it was shared with the campus that we were looking at something in this range.
I think original proposal was $21 million.
I'll get to that in a minute. But initially, we were talking potentially $5 to $7 million on a reallocation. But at the point of that big roundup meeting for the subsequent board meeting, didn't have the background done, didn't know the amounts of money we were talking about. After that, had set up a meeting for the exact purpose of walking down through with the chancellor what the final proposal was. So between the time of the roundup meeting, we call it a sign-off meeting where you're getting all your board agenda items done, between the time of that meeting and when we had to ship things out to the board members in advance of the meeting, had a meeting scheduled with the chancellor to walk him down through all the numbers, indicate to him what the exact amount was going to be, and he then was not able to be at that meeting. And that was the Good Friday surprise, I think, that
the author
makes reference to. She's ex-faculty Senate member. She was
stepped down
from that role because she wasn't appropriately representing her faculty Senate. But that's another story you can look into.
She said because she stepped down because of a crisis of faith, if I remember
correctly. Well, something like that. So you look at who the leader of that organization is and figure out why there's a crisis of faith. But back to the story. So on Good Friday, there was a meeting set up where I was going to walk through all of this with the chancellor. He did not attend the meeting, was not able to do that. We had an obligation then to put forward the materials to the trustees that evening. We have a deadline by which that we publicize the materials, send it to the trustees, and it goes out. So, in fact, it went out without me having the chance to sit with him, but it's not because there wasn't a time set, we had an appointment made, he was not able to do that. And then, remember, too, there are at least 10 days between the time the materials go out and a board meeting. So to say that this was something that was sprung on the chancellor, sprung on the campus, is not the case at all. There was a period of time there at that point. Various voices were heard. Everyone got into the fray as to what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And as one of our trustees pointed out at that April board meeting, we have less time to make decisions, less time to make bigger decisions in terms of amounts of money all the time. And I think it was Trustee Shirley Portwood who pointed out at that April board meeting that with just a few days' notice, the board was able to take a vote on a $35 million loan from the Edwardsville campus to the Carbondale campus, and that didn't seem to have too many objectors at that point. So there's a whole lot of what we might call micropolitics caught up in this.
Right.
And this is what we do. It plays out, and we're going to see where we end up in the end. Go ahead.
It was interesting. I was talking with State Representative Jerry Costello.
Yes.
About this and whether he supported the split between C and E, right? And he says, no, I'm not for a split there. And this, when it comes to this $5 million and the thing, he says, Carbondale never complained when SIUE's enrollment was down and they were sending money there.
Right.
And it was interesting that a guy who covers both of those areas in his district said, well, I didn't ever hear Carbondale complaining when money was going to E and their enrollment was small, but E now is complaining when C has lower enrollment.
Well, I think the argument's one of equity. And
which gets to that 60-40 issue, right?
It's looking to an equal treatment of equals, and I get it. I mean, obviously I taught at Carbondale, I live in Carbondale, and you want all campuses to succeed. But as I've said numerous times, my responsibility in this role is to represent the system. And one of the things that I knew was going to happen was that there was great kind of pent-up pressure out of the Metro East area, particularly coming out after the loan that was made a year ago.
And not paid back, my understanding.
Well, no, it was paid back. It was paid back promptly as soon as state money started coming in.
That's good to know. Other people have reported it wasn't.
No. It was paid back as the first obligation to the Carbondale campus once state money started flowing again, and it was paid back.
Probably should have made a bigger deal out of the payback because people are saying it didn't happen.
But if you want to go back, and this becomes the challenge, you go back to the founding of the Edwardsville campus in 1957, over 60 years' time, there can be a natural evolution and probably is warranted to take a look at what's going on in regard to the use of the state appropriations. And I was certainly hearing that loud and clear from the Metro East. Now, to your point, part of the analysis that was done for this is if you were going to try to make an adjustment based upon enrollment only and looking at nothing else, which I think is inappropriate, by the way, but if you looked at enrollment only, the adjustment would probably be something into the $17 to $20 million range. You can't do that to Carbondale. Right. It's not fair to the campus.
Well, I believe in our last interview, you said maybe as high as $21 million.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were going to do an all-at-once adjustment on enrollment, that's what you'd be looking at. But you can't do that because of the research nature. Yeah, you can't do that to Carbondale. And there are other demands that they have within their operations that you got to take into account. But you've also got a situation, too, where now the Edwardsville campus for fall of 18 is probably looking at 1,000 more new students, first-time freshmen and new transfers. Edwardsville is probably looking at 1,000 more new students than Carbondale is. And obviously with that will be the year that Edwardsville surpasses Carbondale in overall student enrollment. And there's a legitimate case to be made there that that needed to have airing. And that's, again, why it went forward to the board, vetting, to decide whether you do an early phase adjustment to account for the growth that's going to take place there. And that was the basis on their recommendation. I actually don't begrudge the board for saying, no, we're not going to move there. We said we'd look at a formula. We'll stick to that over time. Again, in trying to balance out the needs of all the campuses, I don't apologize for the, you know, going forward with the recommendation and the pre-phase adjustment.
All right. So let's get to the psychology of this. By the way, a psychologist, I believe, or a professor of psychology
wrote
this.
That's exactly right.
Kathleen Schwalis,
right.
Is it?
Yeah, she's right. On psychology.
There's a part in here that people are going to be, they're going to be on you about this today, President Dunn, and I want to give you the opportunity to respond to it. I'm going to read directly from the opinion column published in the Southern Illinois, and says, in Dunn's words, in an email exchange with Vice President Dwayne Stuckey, SIUE Chancellor Randy Pembroke, and SIUE Budget Manager William Winter, shut up the bitchers from Carbondale. And then inserted is an email from your office dated April 4th, and saying, no, I'm with you, I get it, a reference to the 60-40 now, which, yes, goes back to even before Dwayne can identify, and then a smiley face emoticon, is simply to shut up the bitchers from Carbondale who are saying loudly we shouldn't even be doing the $5.125 million at this time. So, you know, you want to reference
this? As people will read in the opinion piece, this was an internal communication, obviously. So there could have been a more artful way to describe it. To quiet the complainers may have been a better way to say something like that. But as we know, Tom, everybody has their Hugo moment every once in a while, don't they? So that may have been mine, and certainly apologize for an artful language in what was an internal communication. What I don't apologize for is going forward with the action to take place that went before the board. And again, it was certainly probably well understood most by me that as soon as this went forward, you could identify the typical suspects within kind of the Carbondale orbit that were going to light their hair on fire about this, that were going to say, this is the ruination of the system, this is going to break up SIU, they're going to reference 60 years ago when bond authority was used to build buildings on the Edwardsville campus, to say, we absolutely can't do that. I don't subscribe to that. There is, a natural evolution of these things. We're seeing it in the SIU system. And it was time for this to move forward and at least get a consideration given the growth that Edwardsville has had and has to deal with. So, again, we move on from that. But this was, again, this early reallocation or this early adjustment, not the full 17 to 20 or 21 million, was appropriate to do given the growth that the campus in Edwardsville is having. Given, again, what I had seen growing there around frustration that was taking place to get this looked at, this conversation at Edwardsville, and I might say in the Metro East, started a year ago with that loan. This just didn't come up in the last two or three weeks. They see the disorganization and drama right now that defines the Carbondale campus to some degree. While they've made the decisions in terms of cuts, in terms of programs to support, the things that, you know, that they need to do, the things they need to let slew off, they're trying to move forward and saying, you know, it's time we get some equity in a system where everyone is saying we're equal partners. Now, it may have been that Professor Schwalis expected she was going to see some big conspiracy theory or agreement that legislation was going to move forward or something else. Again, if you look at the opinion piece, I could read the pressure that was up there, and there, you know, it was clear that if something didn't happen, this was going to kind of break above the surface, and sure enough, it did. Right. And as soon as we saw the no vote on the reallocation, why then everything started moving forward, and you could see how it was going to play out. But again, if I'd said that to the, you know, kind of the Carbondale group, it would have been seen as threatening or or trying to make a mountain out of a molehill or something like that. So sometimes the natural course of water just has to run.
All right, we've only got about 60 seconds left. How do you move forward? What's the plan for you? What's your priorities now? I'm talking big picture stuff,
yes.
Right? We've got concerns here, man. There's enrollment. You know, we got the new enrollment person in place, and you know, we get
there is one issue. There is one issue for Carbondale right now, and it's enrollment. It's enrollment that has to move forward. With enrollment comes financial stabilization. Until that happens, nothing else is going to take place in Carbondale. I certainly agree that there has to be a new business model around the Carbondale campus. No argument there.
Shouldn't there have been a new business model starting in 2008?
There should have been a business model, God knows when, to move that campus forward. And again, I think this is a frustration you see out of SIUE, that just nothing had been happening. Nothing had moved forward. But I can tell you one thing. Reorganization does not build enrollment. You have to triage the patient. You can move forward with new programs right now. It can be the case that if we've got new program ideas, let's take those forward. You don't have to have an entire restructuring of the campus to take the 5, 6, 7, or 8 new programs and get them going. ASAP, you can send forward what we call an RME. It's a form that the Board of Higher Education uses to review new programs. Get those going. Focus on enrollment. I applaud the hiring of the enrollment manager at this point to see what can happen in that regard. And with that, to get some financial sustainability and shut off the red ink on this campus, which as of yet has yet to be addressed, coming out of the budget crisis, it's got to happen.
Which is why you and I will be watching very closely between now and the 31st of May.
Yes. Absolutely. And again, I don't see that those bills move forward. I mean, if somebody asked me to predict, I don't think the support probably exists in the House to take those bills forward. Representative Katie Stewart last week, I think it was, filed a resolution to have the Board of Higher Education study this, look at a split, look at potential reallocation. And that's probably a good way to proceed going forward with this, as opposed to just kind of throwing legislation there.
And we want to see a budget number.
But at this point, everything's out on the table, and we're going to end up having a very large policy conversation, I predict, over the course of the next year to see where this ends up.
SIU President Randy Dunn. Best of luck, Randy.
Thanks, Tom.
Seriously, man.